Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in here. We're looking for the biggest fool out there. When you made a fool of yourself, tell us the story. Gets you in for a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League. Eagles made a trade about a half hour ago. Jahan Dotson.
Got a receiver.
Former first-round pick, number 16 overall, just two years ago with the Commanders, a trade to the Eagles. So the Eagles are giving up a third-round pick. They're also going to get back a fifth-round pick, right? So that's what it is. It's Dotson and a fifth to the Eagles for a 2025 third and 2 7th-round picks. So the Eagles are swapping picks around, but they're giving up a three, getting a five. Also, of course, getting Jahan Dotson. Hugh, I think he's worth a flyer. I think they really needed another legitimate wide receiver here. Mm-hmm. I keep wondering to myself, why did a team that needs, you know, offensive help, you said a young quarterback down there in Washington, why they gave up on him? I'm not saying it's a red flag, but my eyebrows
raised. It just kind of makes you wonder. Yeah. It kind of makes you wonder because it's like he's a first-round draft pick 2 years removed from being drafted, and it's like you gave up on him already.
The Pickett thing, like it's just very similar, right? 2 years in, but like you can only have one quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, so like if the Steelers deemed Pickett was no longer their quarterback, then you might as well just dump him, right? Because it's awkward to keep him as a backup. You need three or four wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like they didn't want him in Washington anymore. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's weird. And I guess their thought process is receivers are a dime a dozen. Maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't know. But it does kind of make you scratch your head a little bit.
24 years old. And again, you know, I mentioned earlier, this isn't a Jalen Reagor-esque bust where he just can't get on the field or he can't catch the ball. In 2 years, he has 84 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. He had 7 touchdowns as a rookie. So there's some production there for the Eagles to work with. So he's going to come in here. I imagine he's going to be the slot right away. I mean, he's going to come in and play there and get some playing time. All right, 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on Topper? Are we too hard on him? Jalen Hurts, are you expecting the 2022 version? Obviously, you can react to this trade the Eagles just made for Jahan Dotson, but we wanted to play this for you. The Braves radio network last night, they made some fools of themselves. Listen to the difference here. So, 9th inning of the game, both teams had the pitch comm issues where they couldn't hear.
Yeah.
Listen to the difference in the reaction between when the Braves pitcher has pitch comm issues in the top of the 9th versus the Phillies with Estevez in the bottom of the 9th. Here is the beginning of that top 9 Braves pitching and how it sounded on their radio network.
Overall, what do you think of the way this training camp went?
I thought it was a...
And now they get on the same page. They sync up those pitch comm devices. So, good job by Murphy and Jackson. Okay, the pitch count device isn't working. We'll go to fingers. Nobody on base.
Yeah.
That's something we should see more of, but
yeah.
Couldn't see the fingers. 1-2 on Turner. No, he's stepped. Now they're having the issues again. It's not working again. And home plate umpire Corey Blazer calls for the Braves dugout to bring out another device.
All right, so the Braves are having some issues. Jalen Hurts snuck in there and was part of the little exchange on the radio. Let's listen now to the bottom of the 9th inning. Phillies on the mound. They're trying to close the game out. Very similar thing happens, and they obviously felt a little different about it.
Estevez now has issues with his pitch comm device. And JT Romuto will walk out there and meet him halfway between the plate and the mound.
Isn't this a joke?
Yeah.
Isn't it just a joke on Major League Baseball that people think they've got to use these electronics? Efforts to speed up the game, and they've got this nonsense going on to bring the game to a halt. It's just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, Hugh. Top of the 9th, it's no big deal. Bottom of the 9th, it's ridiculous.
If that wasn't a get-off-my-lawn moment, I don't know what was, man. I mean, come on, it's made the game better. And then I thought that he was going to go the route of saying that, you know, they're trying to stall. It felt like that's what he was trying to go.
I think he was almost like feeling that, yeah.
Yeah, but how does that benefit the pitcher?
Well, actually, on the TV broadcast last night, they were saying how it could actually hurt.
Yeah, because he's trying to get in a rhythm. He's not pitching great. So what are you saying? Like he's stalling? I don't understand what his premise is. But like I said, man, that's a if that's not a get off my lawn moment, I don't know what is.
Yeah, the Braves are having a rough year. I mean, between the injuries, the Arcia thing last night, they're all out of sorts. And hopefully the Phillies can bury them tonight and moving forward next weekend when they play them here. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Jim, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jim.
What's up, Jim?
What are you feeling today?
God. First of all, Thompson, okay, I can't stand when people say he's a great coach, but they respect him. He has the clubhouse. What's that mean? I mean, don't all teams respect their coach?
No, not really.
No, I don't.
Nah.
I don't. Do you think, Joe Girardi have this clubhouse in his last month as the manager?
No, that's true. Okay, you got me. But still, I mean, what does Hopper do besides make the lineup? That game last night. If Stott doesn't hit that fly ball, and let's say he pops up, why wasn't Stott butting the ball? Stott got lucky and hit a deep drive to right field or left center, I think it was.
But he put Stott and Marsh in the game in that moment.
I agree with you there, but he should have had Stott butting the ball. Stott got lucky. Let's say this is a playoff game. It's a tie game, 2-2, in the bottom of the ninth, person second. Does he do the same thing, or does he tell Stott to bunt?
I don't know. I mean, I first of all, I don't love bunts unless you are desperate because I'm just giving away outs. But, yeah, I mean, in certain moments, sure.
It's a tie game in the eighth or ninth inning. You got to get that runner advance.
But it worked, Flat. But it worked.
Listen, yes, he did do it last night, but he got lucky because he hit a fly ball. That's all I'm saying. Topper doesn't do nothing except put the lineup up there.
What about the bullpen moves last night? He went to Kirkering. He went to Hoffman early. They all worked.
He should have left Kirkley in there. He only threw 8 pitches.
He pitched the night before. How many innings you pitching the guy?
It doesn't matter. Our pitchers can't go more than one inning. They throw 2 pitches, they're done.
But that's most relief pitchers in baseball. I mean,
it doesn't matter. It's terrible. All right, now I got a thing for your fantasy football team.
What do you got?
1999, Phillies were playing the Cardinals. Me and my boy are going to the game. I call out of work because I work night shift and third shift. I'm going to call out. So me and my boy go to the game. We have a few beers, and the game's a blowout. So we sneak down behind the Cardinals dugout. We're right on in the first row, right behind the dugout. Ricky Bowe is pitching relief. He walks off the field. I put the L up as a loser because he got bombed, okay? And the Phillies win. I go home. The next day, my dad wakes me up. He said, "What'd you do last night?" I said, "Nothing. Why?" I said, "I went to the game." He says, "Your face is on the front page of the Daily News." I said, "What?" I get the Daily News. I look at it, and my pitcher is on there with the L sign, and boom. So now I got to go to work that night. I go to work that night.
You
I get fired.
Oh, you got fired. Job. Wow.
I get fired because I told him I was sick and my face is on the paper.
Man, Jim, that's a good one.
That's
you made a fool of yourself, but you know what? I get it. If you felt he got bombed, he thought he was a loser, you got to put the L up. Jim, good phone call. That's a good one. Front page Daily News, big ol' L.
Yeah, and lost your job. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Would you, if you were Jim, would you have gone into your work that night all dressed up?
Would I put a suit on? Well, it all depends. Like, I guess you kind of know your boss watching.
Well,
or saw it.
Front page Daily News, a big deal back in the day.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have went to work because I already know how that's going to work out for me. I wouldn't have went.
Yeah, you got to be careful with the I'm calling out of work for this reason, then go to a public place, right? Because then you're anyone could see you. I mean, I guess you're not expecting to be on the front page or back page of the Daily News, but if you're going to give an excuse to why you're out of work, you can't be visible then to where you're doing something different.
Somebody figured out what dude was trying to say.
Oh,
my man,
Jared, the X thing.
Yeah. Yes, he said he was saying first set of parents he introduced as the wrong people. And introduced them by saying they were the ex's parents.
Ah, instead of the first set of parents were the ex's parents.
Thank you, Jared, because I didn't understand that at first. That sounds about right, but he didn't say it like that.
It was a little confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I got...
Because I'm looking at you, and I'm like, did you get that?
No. Here, I understood if it was awkward, whatever the machinations
were. So he had the wrong set of parents, and he said he had a couple gummies.
You know what I've noticed? Noticed this about almost all of our the people that are giving us our answers today for the time you made a fool of yourself? Almost every one of these stories starts with, had a few beers, had a few gummies.
It always happens that way. It always happens
because... It's the universal way to become a fool.
Yeah, and you become, you know, You do bad stuff. Like I said, I've had many of these moments. I remember when I first got back here, it was me and Ike. We were sitting on the desk doing the pregame before Eagles game. Saw a friend of mine. Haven't seen her in years. And she was a little heavy. I thought she was pregnant.
Oh, no, Hugh.
And I said, hey, when is the baby due?
Oh, no.
And she said, I'm not pregnant. And Ike just kind of looked at me.
That should have been the one you led with today.
No, I'm just saying. Like, at that point, it was like, ain't nothing else for me to say. It's like, you don't recover from that.
Apologize?
One. I was like, and her boyfriend was with her.
Oh.
So he kind of really looked at me worse. Like, and I was like, ain't no coming back from that one. But like I said, I just was like, hey, okay.
I think it needs to be a rule. Unless the person tells you they are pregnant, see, you don't ask. You don't assume that.
Dude. But,
that's a bad one.
That's a disaster.
Yeah. I'm in a nutshell, that's basically what it was.
I mean, you basically just like out loud said you gained a lot of weight and without context.
Well, I wasn't lying. I mean, no, I didn't mean to say it.
Honesty is not always the best policy.
We've been trying to tell you this for a long time. You got to stop being so honest.
And this is why I'm sitting here by myself all the time. But I was like, hey, when is the baby due? She said, I'm not pregnant. I was like, oh. And Ike looked at me and he said, dog, you're never supposed to say that. He said, what's wrong with you? You're never supposed to say that.
It's like rule number one, man.
I was like, my bad. That's all I said. It was my bad.
Because even if you're right, that's like, all right, she'd be happy you said it. She'd give you the date. But it's so much worse if you're wrong, like the situation just gave. That one just sticks.
Yeah. But
you ruined her whole day.
But
ruined your whole
on
day.
On the flip side, I mean, maybe it's motivation.
Is that what we're going to go with?
I mean, that's all
I
got.
That spin right there. You know, yeah.
That's all I got. I work in radio. Got to spin it a little bit. Like, I do a little bit of spin.
I guess we do that a lot. Let's look at Jim, who's up next. What's up, Jim in Belmar?
Hey, good afternoon or good morning. I don't even know what time it is. How are you doing?
Jim, it is 12:12, and we're good. What's up?
Okay. So I wanted to, chime in about Thompson, about Coach Thompson there. I really respect the man. I respect his career. And there's some things that I absolutely love about the man, like as compared to Joe Girardi, where he tries new players. He tries new things and so forth like this. He absolutely has his finger on the pulse of the batters and, like, putting them in at the right times most of the time. I really disagreed with, the other game where he wouldn't put in JT or Bryce.
Yeah, Sunday against the Nats, yep.
Yeah, I really disagree with that and did not understand it because it's not his norm. Normally, he does really well as far as, like, putting in, like, your Weston Wilsons or your somebody that you didn't expect, like Edmundo Sosa and so forth like this. But he does not have the same flexibility or open-mindedness when it comes to his bullpen. And that is his Achilles heel. He's been doing this for like 2 years, maybe three, where he will not bend with the hot hand. I'm going to give you just a brief example from last night. He did a great job last night by putting the pinch hitters in that he did. But Hoffman pitched four pitches. That's it. And, like, you have to trust the hot hand that you have, especially in the postseason. I mean, God forbid something should happen to a Ryan Kirkering or Matt Strom or something like this. You can't have a professional ball player pitch four pitches, and that's it.
So let me say one thing to counter the Hoffman thing last night. And I understand your point that's not many pitches, and he certainly could have probably pitched another inning or more batters at least, right? They don't have an off day. I'm going to check it to make sure I'm right on this. They don't have another off day here until September 2nd. So they play through tonight. They go to Kansas City. Houston comes in. Atlanta comes in. Their next off day is actually Labor Day, which is ridiculous to not play on Labor Day, but that's separate. They don't have an off day till Labor Day. If he uses Hoffman for five outs, six outs, whatever, he's probably not available for at least one day, if not two. And I my thing is he's probably worried about trying to win those games too.
Okay, so here's my counter to that, because you're right. But even more to the point, it's like you don't have to have Hoffman in there for four outs because we do have a deep bullpen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to stick with, I mean, like, how do you call it? You can have – you just devil's advocate here. Hoffman came in what, the end of the seventh? End of the sixth?
I think it was sixth. Yeah, when Nola got in trouble in the sixth, he came in last night. Yep.
Right. Got that. Yeah, he got the last out. But you could have used him easily for the seventh and then Kirkering. And then the next day, you have Jastrom. Next day, you have another, hopefully, not Alvarado, but I'll roll the dice with him for like three batters kind of a thing. But it's the main thing is that he can't not be flexible in the postseason. And that's why it's really important, especially against the Braves. And we got, what, four games left against them?
Five tonight and then four next weekend.
Right. You can't be gambling with the Braves. No way. You've got to stick with the hot hand.
I think it's an interesting point. And look, he could. I think a lot of people, Jim, and we appreciate the phone call, probably wanted Hoffman for the 7-2 last night because he only threw a few pitches, got the double play. I actually think I like the way Topper's aggressive with his bullpen and how he uses Hoffman all over the place since they got the new closer. I am concerned about the new closer, Hugh. He's just shaky. Like, he hasn't been bad. He's just
he's giving
shaky.
You heart palpitations. He makes it very, very interesting down the stretch. He really did that.
And that's not a word you want to use for your closer. He makes it interesting.
I will say this. I mean, he came up for you, though. I mean,
he got out of it.
Well, Bryce really was the one that came up for you big.
Yeah. And the fact that Whit Merrifield was the batter. Who's, you know, I mean, how many hits
man,
is he going to get?
But I tell you what, I don't know how you felt. But the night that Whit Merrifield had the other night, and him being the last batter, boy, the irony was just, I was nervous.
If Whit Merrifield had won the game last night, this would have been Meltdown City. I mean, this would have been a mess today on WIP.
You think?
Yeah. I wouldn't have came in today.
Yes, you would, because you'd have been yelling and screaming.
Sick day.
Hey.
We would have to be accountable to Whit.
It would have been bad. Phillies. It would have been bad.
That's the one that would break me.
And then you hear his press conference after that, and, you know, it would have been probably another spin on how we are the team that let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't have handled that well.
That would have been bad.
No, I would not
work.
Especially after – so after Arcia did the stare down, this could have gone one of two ways. Either I would have came in here feeling like we basically got, like, neutered, like the Niners coming to Philly last year and neutering us. Like, if we did not respond – to what happened there, and like we lost after that, like that would have felt like that would have been the most down that I have been about this team.
You're like, how could they get back up
season?
From this?
Yeah, like that you can't recover from mid-August Arcia's stare down.
You know what it feels like? It feels like every week for the last 3 or 4 weeks, they keep having a moment where it feels like things could really truly fall apart, and they somehow win a game to like save it. They did it with the 3-homer game with Schwarber in LA, last week Schwarber with the Grand Slam, and then last night to come back and win. Hugh, just when it feels like it might really tip over, they find a way to win to like, all right, calm down, we won.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not
a good feeling. It's not a good feeling to be
no,
that, though.
It's not.
No, not when you're a team that has so many high expectations, high hopes for the end of the season.
I agree.
It's not a great place.
No, all right. Scott, coming up before the end of this hour, we have a $50 gift card to give away to Burger King. Embrace the heat this summer with the all-new Fire Menu, now available for a limited time at participating U.S. Burger King restaurants. $50 gift card to Burger King coming up later this hour. I'll tell you how you could win that. Pat is up next on WIP. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys.
What's
how
up,
you doing?
Pat? Good, Pat. What are you thinking?
Well, Kyle yelled at me
No, I didn't. Enough of this.
Kyle gets animated, yeah.
I did not yell at you. Stop it.
I had to go look at some numbers. I think anyone who thinks that Jalen Hurts is set up for a giant leap forward back to 2022 is delusional. Because you're pointing to scheme, you're pointing to Kellen Moore. What did he do with Justin Herbert last year? Justin Herbert didn't have a banner year last year.
He did not.
The Chargers quit on that coaching staff. They lost.
They got
to add
a lot of injuries, though. They had a lot of injuries.
They did have a lot of injuries. And I'm looking at the over under for Jalen Hurts yards this year.
Can I guess it? Oh, you said 3,500 is the over under. That feels low. But you know what,
Pat? It does feel low.
Well, here's my feeling on that. I said that. That was my first instinct, but as we all know, the people who set these lines are employed and they're in business and they make a lot of money for a reason. Like, that feels low, and I bet a lot of people listening right now are inclined to bet the over on that, but there's a reason the number is set where it is.
Go ahead and bet the over, and I will tell you, there's another quarterback who had a banner year, went 15-1, went to the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, and never got back again.
Cam Newton.
And his name's Cam Newton. So if anyone thinks that Jalen Hurts is going to come out and set the world on fire this year after having the season that he had last year, I have to see it on the field. If he goes and sets the world on fire the first 2, 3, 4 weeks, then that's fine.
Pat, I not to cut you off, but with all due respect, I don't think that's a good comparison, because when you talk about Cam Newton didn't grow and evolve as a quarterback. I think Jalen has, and I think he's shown that. He needs to play better, no question about it, but I don't think that's a good comparison when you talk about the two different quarterbacks and the style of play that they have.
Well, their numbers tell different, Hugh.
What do you mean, as far as the numbers are concerned? What do you mean?
I'm talking about yards, number of touchdowns.
If I'm not mistaken, I do believe Cam probably had way more rushing touchdowns than Jalen has.
Well, for a career he did. Jalen's on pace, and I don't know how long he's going to do this for. Jalen's on pace to probably come close to Cam in terms of rushing touchdowns. Jalen has a lot.
But I feel like last year when I look at Jalen, I mean, he had a few last year, and most of those were off of the tush push, and he was vulturing touchdowns from my running back. I feel like last year he was a better passer, and I think that was evident in the first 10 games. I hear what you're saying, but I think that he showed signs to me early in the season that he had more of a pocket presence than he had the year before. And that's why, like, when you say that, you might not be wrong, but I feel like Jalen's going to be different.
Okay. I mean, you could feel that way, but until we see it on the field, and we don't see it in the preseason nowadays, we're going to see it in the regular.
Pat, I'm with you on that part. I got to see it first. I mean, these have been good signs. And Pat, good phone call. And we appreciate it. I need to see it. But here's the one thing about the Cam Jalen thing, Hugh, that I do think is similar.
Mm-hmm.
I always saw part of why Cam struggled as a passer, and he was up and down. Like, some years good, some years bad, because he was banged up. He had shoulder issues because he ran so much.
Yeah, and he was physical. He was a physical quarterback.
Yes, and Jalen's had a lot of issues. Now, he's healthy right now. He says he feels good, but he's got to sustain that throughout the season. Actually, I was surprised by this. Jalen, through the first 4 years of his career, has more rushing touchdowns than Cam had his first four years.
Is that right? It doesn't feel like that, though, because it just feels like, to me, like
tush push.
Jalen
has 41 rush touchdowns. And by the way, he only started, what was it, four games in his first year? So, I mean, Cam started from day one. Cam had 33 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah,
his first
and Cam was a physical runner, man.
Yes.
Like, Cam used to be out there. Like, who is that he beat up in camp? Josh Norman?
Oh, yeah, when he would lower his shoulder.
He put hands on Josh Norman. Cam's not a little dude.
No, he's huge.
Not. And Cam was a physical specimen. So that's why I said those numbers felt skewed to me, because I can remember Cam like getting in the secondary and just putting in work on.
Well, he would
DBs
lower his shoulder and go through people.
Jalen's not that kind of guy. What you're about to say, Kyle?
Real quick, the only thing, because I totally understand needing to see it to believe it, but the only thing I took exception to and did not yell at Pat. We had a very civil conversation. It was not like Doug earlier in the show, who I did yell
Doug,
at.
Yeah.
Yes, I absolutely ripped.
Doug needed to be
I ripped
yelled
Doug a new one, yeah.
They need to get used to that, though,
well,
man.
Well, sure. but Pat said it's delusional to expect that. That's a little bit too far for me.
He was just trying to trigger you guys. It worked.
He did get
it. It worked. Yeah, I don't think it's delusional. I'm just not. No, I'm not there yet.
There's plenty of reasons to believe.
Well, this camp is the reason.
Yes.
How he's playing. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, are we too hard on Rob Thompson here? Do you expect the 2022 Hurts to return? Reaction here to the Jahan Dotson trade. The Eagles land a receiver, former first round pick from the Washington Commanders. Plus, more audio yesterday from Hurts and Sirianni. Very reflective last season and how they're taking it into this year. And your chance to be part of the Midday Show Fantasy Football League. Give us the moment you made a fool out of yourself. 215-592-949 for Midday Show Sports Radio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.